peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the epistle for today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. In Jesus' name, my dear Christian friends. We're going to talk about grace today. Our text provides us with one of the best places to deal with that topic. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The title of this message, Grace Works, is to be understood in two ways, emphasizing each word. Grace works. Grace works. First of all, grace works. It really works. For it is by grace you have been saved. God's grace, His undeserved love, caused Him to send Jesus to save the world, to save us. As John 3:16 so clearly said, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Because Jesus took our place on the cross, because He went through death and the grave and came out alive, we have forgiveness and life. We are saved by grace. Kevin Bacon, the actor, starred in the movie Footloose. And when his six-year-old son first saw his dad in this movie, Kevin Bacon recalled what that was like, and this is what he wrote. My son said, "Hey, Dad, you know that thing in the movie where you swing from the rafters of that building? That's really cool. How did you do that?" I said, "Well, I didn't do that part. It was a stuntman." "What's a stuntman?" he asked. "That's someone who dresses like me and does things I can't do." "Oh," he replied, and walked out of the room looking a little confused. A little later, he said, "Hey, Dad, you know that thing in the movie where you spin around on that gym bar and land on your feet? How did you do that?" I said, "Well, I didn't do that. It was a gymnastics double." "What's a gymnastics double?" he asked. "That's a guy who dresses in my clothes and does things I can't do." There was silence from my son. Then he asked in a concerned voice, "And what did you do?" "I got all the glory," I sheepishly replied. End of glory. In a similar way, Jesus took our place. Dressed in our flesh and blood, if you will. Did what we could not do. Living the perfect life. Taking our sins to the cross and dying for us. And what do we get? What do we receive? We receive all the blessings, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Yes, grace works. Furthermore, grace works to bring help to the helpless. J.S. Bach, above many, if not most, of his compositions, put two letters, J.J., standing for two Latin words, Jesu Iuva, Jesus, help me. Wouldn't that be an appropriate banner to put over our life on a day-to-day basis? Jesus, help me. I was visiting with someone recently who had a number of problems, one after another. And she got to the point where she didn't know how to pray about it anymore. And she said, I've come to the point where I just say, God, help. That's a person who's not trusting in herself, but trusting completely in the grace of God. As the hymn writer puts it, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. And grace works to drive out fear. The fear that our evil deeds will be discovered. The fear of condemnation. The person who lives in the darkness of sin and evil, that would be you and me, don't want our sins exposed. But here's where God's law does us a big favor. God's law helps to expose our sin to us so that we understand what we've done wrong. For example, the sin of thinking that we don't really need God's help to be saved. Why not? Because our sins aren't that serious. And the sins we do have are kind of negated or canceled out by the good things that we do, we may think to ourselves. The law points out to us our lying, our using God's name in a disrespectful way, our coveting, not being thankful for what we have, but rather wishing we had what someone else has. And on, the law helps expose to us our sin. And then we're able to confess to God, I've done wrong. And in confessing to God, God's grace kicks into action to assure us of forgiveness so that there is no fear of condemnation. For Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The alternative to living under grace is to live with the constant question, when have I ever done enough to satisfy God? Grace says, Jesus has done enough to satisfy God. Therefore, we need not fear. And that includes the fear of death. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, we will face physical death. But by the grace of God, we have the promise of eternal life. Grace works, not because we are perfect people, not because we are sinless people, not because we are error-free people, but because we have a gracious, loving, heavenly Father who through Jesus loves us in spite of our sins and transgressions. And he desires that we not live under a cloud of condemnation, but under the bright rays of his grace in Jesus Christ. Grace works. It really works. Now the other part of this message, part two. Grace works. Verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are not intended to be spiritual sponges, simply soaking up God's blessings and doing nothing. God has graced us, if you will. God has graced us in order to equip us to do good works according to his plan. Different tasks for different people, different tasks for different times. But the fact is, grace works. It's active. God has created us to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. The gifts and abilities we have are God's way of showing His love through us to our neighbor. Our serving is not to be seen as drudgery, but as opportunity. And we're not to spend our time wishing we had the gifts that some other person has, but rather rejoicing and giving thanks for the ways in which God has gifted us. This is expressed very well in Romans chapter 12. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. God has created you in a unique way. He has made you special in order for you to serve His purpose in our world. This is explained so well in 1 Corinthians 12, where St. Paul is inspired to write about how the parts of the human body function, coordinating, cooperating, the parts of our body work so that our body functions properly. And he says that's the way it's supposed to be in the church, that we are coordinated and that we cooperate together, different people, different abilities, all working together to serve God's purpose. Grace works. And it works because God has gifted us to serve and work in our lives. He's planned for us to work and serve together so that we might give evidence of His grace at work in our lives. May the Holy Spirit enable and empower us to live lives of lives that are grace-filled, knowing and believing that we are saved by grace, and then putting that grace to work for the good of others and the glory of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, enable us to understand what our gifts are, and then help us to connect those gifts to worthwhile endeavors, to Your glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the offertory. Please stand.